Ladies and gentlemen, we welcome you all to this late start of the May 17th, 2001 House Committee on Agriculture and Forestry, and this is our last meeting of the session. So you get on in on the very last one, and to let all of you know who are here for House Bill 3814, we are not going to hear that bill at all, period. It is dead. Do not worry about it. So you can all leave. And everyone will breathe a sigh of relief. We are still, however, very much going to work Senate Bill 943A, but before we do that, we're going to have an informational hearing of about a half hour or so from the Oregon Department of Agriculture on a very serious problem that we face in agriculture, and that's noxious weeds. So those of you who want to go do something else, you can go do that for a little while. Just be sure you're back probably in maybe 20, 25 minutes. Because as soon as we have the opportunity, we are going to go into Senate Bill 943, work that bill out of committee, and we are finished. So with that, we're going to open an informational hearing on noxious weeds. Oregon Department of Agriculture, would you come forward, please? Welcome, gentlemen, for the record.
Thank you, Chair Krupp. For the record, my name is Dan Hilburn. I'm Administrator of the Plant Division, and with me today is Tim Butler, who's our Noxious Weed Control Program, Supervisor. I'm going to start off today, and then Tim will take over with the details of the Noxious Weed Strategic Plan that we prepared last interim. This plan was the result of a bill, House Bill 2118, in the last session, which directed the department to look at noxious weed control in the state, assess how serious the problems were, look at the current control programs, and come back with some recommendations to the legislature. And I want to direct your attention first to page 2 and 3. These are the list of the people that we consulted, and it's a very long list. It's some 69 agencies and groups that we went to and asked them, you know, what do you see as the problems? What going well, what's not going well, and what needs to be done. And I think just to give you an overall picture of the answers, we heard probably 3 answers to that over and over again. And number one was that the weed problems are getting worse. We have more weeds, and the ones that we have are spreading. So we're kind of losing the war against weeds. We win little battles, but overall we're not doing well. Secondly, we heard that programs at all levels are important. We need strong county programs. We need a strong state program. Federal land management agencies need weed programs. ODOT needs a strong emphasis on weeds. Private landowners need to pay attention to their weeds. So that there's no one program that's going to solve this. It's going to have to be a group effort with lots of programs working together. And then finally, we heard over and over again that resources were inadequate. We're falling behind because in many cases we don't have reliable long-term funding to put to bear against these weed problems. And one of the things that I would like the committee here to help us with is finding funding which is tied to the source of the problem. That is so critical. We need to find funding that relates directly to the activities that bring in weeds and spread them around the state. And I just want to give you some ideas on what those activities are. If you take a book on weeds, and I have in front of me the Biological Control of Weeds in the West, and you look at the weeds that we have in this state and how they got to this country, you can quickly identify a few pathways. Flipping through this book, the first weed I come to is field bindweed. And field bindweed was apparently arrived in the U.S. as in contaminated crop seed. Gorse, introduced as an ornamental or hedge plant to contain livestock, but soon escaped from cultivation. Diffuse knapweed, entered the U.S. as a contaminant of alfalfa seed. So there are a few activities that humans engage in that tend to bring weed problems to this country. Importing plant material, importing seeds are two of them. one other less easily identified activity is just simply trade and travel. Weeds, seeds especially, hitchhike. And this book includes some data on that. One thing that I found especially interesting was a study where somebody went to a car wash and they collected all the sludge from the car wash and they put it in planting trays and they watered it and fertilized it and noted what grew out. And in that one experiment, they got 256 different plant seeds, 18,000 seedlings from the sludge at a car wash. So we're moving seeds around with cars, rail cars, our own boots, you name it. Just human activity tends to move seeds around. So we need some help from good minds to help us identify ways to fund weed control projects, and hopefully we can tie it to those activities that are spreading weeds around. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Tim Butler, and he'll give you some of the details from the Noxious Weed Strategic Plan.
Gentlemen, do you have examples of how other states are dealing with this in terms of what types of programs they've been able to put together so that we don't reinvent the wheel?
Mr. Chairman, we have lots of contacts with other states, and I think in general, Oregon is in a pretty good position in that we don't have as serious a weed problems as many other states. Some other states do have innovative ways of paying for the weed programs, and Tim can give you a couple of ideas there.
Great. Thank you, and welcome, Tim. For the record, state your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, for the record, my name is Tim Butler, Department of Agriculture. Yes, as far as to answer your question, Mr. Chair, as far as the other states are concerned, there are some innovative programs and where they have surcharges on or license plate fees, types of things, like in the state of Montana, that helps to fund, ties the vehicles to assessing a charge to help support the weed programs, since vehicles is a primary way that a lot of these things get moved. So that's one
interesting
example.
Please continue, Tim.
I'll just start off today with kind of giving you just an overview of the strategic plan. Dan did introduce that. What we're looking at, what I'll start with today is just to give you a little bit about the magnitude of the problem that exists. And what we've done, you have a copy of the economic analysis that was done, that document, yes. And that gives us that was done down at Oregon State University for us in November. It outlines some very specific details as far as on just 21 of our 21 of our 100 state listed noxious weeds, we're receiving about a $83 million a year impact to the state economically. So it's very significant. It's important to note that $83 million is just a small portion of the total economic impact that weeds are making to Oregon, however. So it's just from an economic standpoint, these are making significant impacts overall. And that there's a lot of detail in the economic analysis that substantiates that. Nationally, it's important to note that that noxious weeds cause an estimated $27 billion a year as far as annual losses. As far as environmental health, an important measure of environmental health is the lack of noxious weeds in any given ecosystem as far as impacts. And so another aspect is invasion of non-native plants is considered to be one of the most serious threats to rare and endangered plant species and overall watershed health. Direct ecological impacts include exclusion and competition with desirable plants, negative effects on fish and wildlife species, alteration in soil chemistry and nutrient cycling, and alteration in hydrology and stream flow. And these are just a few of the ecological impacts that, that a lot of these noxious weed, invasive noxious weed species make to our resources in the state. As far as decline, overall, there's been a decline in noxious weed control programs during the last decade in Oregon. Active county noxious weed control programs have declined by an estimated 70%. Currently, only 15 out of 30 out of the Oregon's 36 counties have active noxious weed control programs. And the state program, the ODA program, over the last decade has declined by about 33% in our general fund overall. And during this same time frame, the state listed noxious weeds have increased by about 40%. So that's it's not been a good trend. Examples of two noxious weeds that have continued to increase in acres during the last 17 years or so, those examples are spotted mapweed. And during that period from 82 to 99, they've increased, spotted mapweed has increased about 42-fold from about 9 townships that have spotted mapweed to 379 townships that, that it's present in. Yellow star thistle is another problem weed that has about, has increased about 11-fold to about, from 38 townships to about 428 townships, and we have about 1.8 million acres of yellow star thistle in the state currently. So these are very, just a couple of examples of very problematic weeds and, that are continuing to spread. It is important to note, however, that we've started off with some of the negative aspects, but there are some positive things that are happening. It's all is not lost. You might say it's we're making progress. I think from a national level, the president's executive order in February of 1999 on invasive species was a big step to focus more attention on the invasive species problem overall, but which also included noxious weed species and plant species. The National Plant Protection Act of 2000 was is also helped to consolidate a lot of the plant laws that help include noxious weed issues. And there's also proposed legislation currently in Congress on the harmful Senate Bill 198, the Harmful Non-Native Weed Control Act of 2000, which would give us some federal assistance as far as grants to the state. One of the key aspects of that is to have a noxious weed strategic plan in place for the state in order to qualify for those funds. And so that's one of the aspects of having having done this strategic plan will help
now,
us in
now, Tim, let me stop you for a moment. Two questions I have to ask you. Is that the president's executive order, was there any mechanism there for allowing money to flow to the states for that purpose based on the executive order?